Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, Titans Monday. Titans losers yesterday at Buffalo to go to 2-3. Breaking news, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, saying and reporting that the Tennessee Titans are planning on flying in Cody Parkey, the ex-Bears kicker, and that Cody Parkey will probably be signed tomorrow, and Cody Parkey will be the next kicker for the Tennessee Titans. Floyd, do you remember Cody Parkey's double doink last year against Philadelphia?
Yeah, right at the end of the year.
And if I remember correctly, before he went to kick that, NBC did a nice little montage of his season of crossbars, which apparently crossbars and uprights were a problem for him last season. I'm going to guess they're still a problem for Cody Parkey. And then also, Cody Parkey really ticked off Matt Nagy last year. After they lost, he went on Good Morning America to talk about missing his kick or whatever, and that really irritated Matt Nagy because he thought this was like a team thing, and he was singling himself out by doing that. But my guess is if he was making his kicks and went on Good Morning America, they probably wouldn't have cared so much. So that's Cody Parkey. That's going to be the next Titans kicker. Do you have a problem with Cody Parkey coming in to be the next Titans kicker?
Oh, I don't know anything about him other than what we saw, yeah. So I don't, you know.
I mean, if you're a kicker who's available on October 7th, there's a reason you're available on October 7th as a kicker.
Absolutely.
Now, Floyd Reese was able to pull Gary Anderson out of the air a couple times.
Out of the, he was fly fishing in Canada.
And so, you know, you had that going on. So I asked Mike Vrabel today, about a message for the fans. Because the truth is, Floyd, is the fans are tired of games like yesterday. Games like Indianapolis, games like yesterday, where the team does everything in their power to lose. And Vrabel today, you know, I really think that the fans may, this may be a moment where fans are starting to turn on Vrabel, especially because of the bad decision to kick the field goal. Although it's a decision you are okay with, I think 98% of the fan base hates the decision to run Cairo Santos back out there for a 53-yard field goal. So I asked Vrabel today what his message to the fans was when they're tired of the inconsistency of the Tennessee Titans.
Mike, what would you say to the fans who, when you were hired, it was about raising the bar and raising the level and see the inconsistencies and want to throw their hands up and say, this is the same old Titans? What would you say to those fans?
That we're working tirelessly to improve this football team each and every day. That when I come to work to the detriment of my family, I think about this team when I'm here, when I'm not here, that we're going to improve, that our goal is to improve every day, to put guys into positions, to coach these guys, to let them be in position to help the team and play with great effort, play with great fundamentals, but most importantly, win.
What do you think of that message to the fans?
It was fine. I mean, that's what you'd expect them to say, I think.
I'm not going to say that I didn't like it, because I'll let the fans determine how they feel about the message. Because again, I'm not asking for me; I'm asking for the fans.
Well, what could he say?
Well, I mean, the whole thing about, you know, that we're working tirelessly to the detriment of my family. So was the guy before you, Wisenhunt. I don't really know how hard he was working. I'm sure he was working hard, but you know, that was to the detriment of the team with how he was working. But, I mean, all these coaches work hard, right? Like, every coach in the history, no, not every coach. I'm sure you've worked with some real losers who, you know, 9-to-5 coaching, going up against these guys that work really hard. But, like, every coach works hard. I mean, Sean McDermott, the guy you were coaching against, I'm sure he works really hard to the detriment of his family. I mean, I think 99% of us work what we work, and at some point, it is to the detriment of our family what we do. I mean, even I have an example of, you know, the detriment of to my family and what I do, which is not to the detriment level of what a football coach goes through. But I don't know, you know, like maybe something like, we plan on correcting it, we will raise the bar, all that kind of stuff, and he wasn't going there. Which, we're working hard. Everybody's working hard, except the people that don't work hard, who, you know, think they're working hard. But there's maybe 1% of the American population that thinks that they don't work hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because I mean, you've been around some people who don't work hard at all and probably think, I worked the hardest.
I've seen people that, boy, I'm killing it. And you're thinking to yourself, geez, if you only knew. If you only knew.
So let's go back to your phones. And I guess that's a question for the fans. That is, what did you think of Vrabel's message to you? Because, again, this is to you, not to me, not to us. Somebody today was like, oh, Jared Stillman got to ask about the message to the fans. That's our job. Our job is not to ask questions because we personally want to know the answer. Our job is to ask questions for you, the fans, which is what I do. Let's go to your phones on Titans Monday. Evan up next on Vrabel. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey, to touch on one thing you mentioned earlier, I think we're talking more about what the Titans did wrong than what the Bills did right, because this was the Titans losing the game and not the Bills winning the game. But to my point, I look at Vrabel, we're almost a season and a half into his head coaching tenure, and there are just some head coaching gaffes, plain and simple. Even if you want to defend sending Santos out on for that fourth field goal from 53 yards, you know, his reason for doing that is what bothered me. He said that he went to Santos and asked him how he was feeling about it. And that, to me, is Vrabel keeping the player hat on and not putting the head coach hat on. If you're the head coach, like, whatever decision you make that decision not by asking the kicker how he feels. Of course the kicker's going to say, oh, yeah, coach, I'm feeling great. I was on the street a month ago, and now I'm on an NFL team. I can do anything, coach. And I think that this coaching staff as a whole doesn't have enough head coaching experience. I don't count Dean Pease's stint at Kent State. So, GM, I know I'm a little early, but my ask the GM question for you is, what can John Robinson do to set Vrabel up for success and learn how to avoid these head coaching mistakes that a young head coach makes, as Vrabel has been making? Thanks.
There you have it.
Being a head coach, if you haven't been one, is constantly a learning experience. And the reason it changes is because everything about the game changes. The player that you handled last year because he had a drug problem is not the same player you're dealing with this year that assaulted his wife. Or, you know, the coach that you're trying to teach the basics, the fundamentals of what you want taught in a certain position is not the same guy that, you know, has been in the league for 35 years and knows exactly what you're talking about and everything about it. And so I think it's just one of those jobs that if you haven't done it for a long time, and even if you have, to be honest, I mean, it's just constantly changing. It's one of those things. It's like Bud Grant used to tell me about covering a kick. He'd say, there's no need practicing covering kicks. And I would say, why? And he'd say, because every single kick that you ever cover in your entire life will be different. And bottom line is, he's right. And so, you know, it's one of those things that I think you just have to learn. Some guys pick it up quicker. Some guys have done it longer. But Mike hasn't. You know, Mike's a young guy, and he's still working his way.
By the way, someone tweeted out and said the Titans could only Austin Huff, who used to work here, tweeted out, said, so the Titans cut a guy who's famous for missing kicks only to sign a guy who is more famous for missing kicks. That is not a good solution right there. By the way, the answer there on what John Robinson can do, he can get Vrabel a better kicker. That, I think, would be able to help him out.
That's everybody's going to have that answer. There are no better kickers out there.
No. I'm just saying.
You can't manufacture them.
I'm just saying.
They've got to be out there.
AJ is up next. What's up, AJ?
Hey, guys. I just want to say I've been pretty neutral on Marcus. But I got to agree with you, Jared. I thought Marcus had a really, really good game, even under the circumstances with the offensive line, the receivers didn't give him any help. Corey Davis dropped a nice ball down the sideline, which potentially could have led to a touchdown. And also, we're forgetting to mention really how good this Bills defense is. Like, we just went up against arguably one of the best defenses in the NFL. And, I mean, just look at what they did to Tom Brady last week, 150 yards. One interception. So, you know, I think Marcus did a really good job. I just wanted to, you know, say I had to agree with you on that, Jerry.
Thank you for the call. If you compare Brady's day with Marcus's day, Marcus had a way better day than Tom Brady did against Buffalo's defense. You're the one that wants to go off the stats of yesterday's game.
25 yards. It's different.
And he had a touchdown, and Brady had a pick and no touchdowns. I mean, there's a big difference between those two. You're the one that wants to go off the stats. I'm going off of what I saw on the field yesterday.
You want to
choose. I thought Marcus Mariota did everything in his power to win them that football game. The one thing he could have done differently, which, again, I do blame on him a little bit, even though I thought that he technically was behind the line of scrimmage. I did believe that, you know, Marcus has got to know, man, get that ball out of there before you get close to that line. Like, you got to know where the line is, you got to know where you are, and you got to throw the ball before you get to the line. That being said, I thought that was a bad call, but that's the only mistake that I credit to Mariota. He's not the reason he's getting sacked five times. He's not the reason. He's not the reason guys are dropping the football. That's not his fault. And everyone just looks at the stats, and when you look at the stats, you can say, oh, he sucks because the stats say he sucks. But against a really good defense, Marcus went out there, and I thought Marcus played really, really well. 615-737-1025. Jared the GM. Back to the phones next, plus what Mike Vrabel had to say about Roger Saffold, because that has been a big, big, big issue so far with the Titans. We'll get to that coming up. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the game.
With accountability for actions, with Saffold, who has probably had a lot of plays that he'd like back early in the season, how long can you keep going with that in hopes that he'll be the player you paid him to come in and be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you do. You know, that's what you do in the league. You make decisions, and there's been a lot of good football, and sometimes there's been plays that he's like to head back, and I got to find out, and we have to find out if that's, lapses in focus, concentration, not getting the snap count, not getting off on the ball. A lot of times when you watch offensive linemen, even if you look at Nate or Roger inside, when they're getting off on the football, on the snap, you know, they're getting in their guy. Sometimes in pass protection, if you're a step late, they're getting into your chest. And so, you know, we have to find out where that lapses are coming from and what's causing it, because, you know, we need to fix it. We have to help our quarterback. We have to improve in a lot of phases.
But how long can you go on with the we need to fix it before it becomes too late and then you have to make a decision to fix it?
Well, right, you know, we feel like he's one of our obviously best five linemen. And so we have to find ways to fix it. And to this point, up until, you know, again, there's been a lot of good things. And yesterday, you know, there were some plays that we'd like to have back in pass protection.
That was Mike Vrabel today. I asked him, hey, how long can we go on with watching Saffold like this? And Vrabel goes, hey, I think he's one of the best five offensive linemen. I don't have anything to base that off of other than the fact that he's done that before somewhere else. But with this offensive line, maybe that's enough, you know, to go off of that and say, well, you know, I mean, he was good somewhere else. That being said, though, can't you make the argument Dennis Kelly's one of the best five offensive linemen and he's not out there?
Could I?
Well, I'm just saying, could anybody make the argument?
Oh,
Kelly?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to say, well, I think Roger Saffold's one of our best five offensive linemen.
Sure.
So we're going to keep giving him chances, chance after chance, to not be a turnstile. I look at you and say, well, Dennis Kelly's one of the best five offensive linemen. Why isn't Dennis out there? I mean, I know there's a difference between a tackle and a guard. I'm starting to not care as far as Kelly's concerned with these other guys.
Well, I mean, there is a difference to the extent that some guys can play both, some guys can't.
Well, they used Dennis Kelly at guard against the Chargers last year in London.
And if you move a guy that hasn't played guard or doesn't want to play guard or isn't good playing guard in there, I mean, you're just asking for more of the same. It's not a remedy, it's just a change. And in coaching, you don't change just to change. You know, you change because you think, rightly or wrongly, that you're improving whatever it is you're trying to fix. So, I mean, I would think, I've got history with him, history being scouting him for so long. So I know what he is.
I mean, were you really on him for Belichick saying, hey, this guy?
Well, he was never available, you know.
Was he a high first rounder?
I think he was a high second rounder. But, I mean, he didn't. He's played left tackle. He's played left guard. He's played, I think, everything but center. I don't know that he's been a center. But he's played every position on the offensive line and played them well. I'm talking about playing it to a playoff caliber, you know, with playoff caliber teams.
Does Garnecchia like him?
I don't know that we ever talked about him.
He was 33rd overall.
33rd overall.
33rd pick.
So y'all would have had at least one chance to take him in New England, and it probably would have been right around that pick. I mean, y'all were probably picking 30th that year or something like that.
Probably.
So.
I don't know.
Should have fought harder with Bill for old Roger Saffold.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, I can't even remember. I think he's been in the league like 10 years, hasn't he?
2010 draft.
So okay. That would have been right when you got to New England.
That was,
so they were too busy drafting Gronk to, you know, be worried about drafting Roger Saffold. So you know, it worked out for him. Let's go to your phones. Fred is up next on Roger Saffold. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, guys. I hope you're having a good day.
Yep.
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm willing to give Saffold time because Butler last year, you know, I thought he was terrible. And then he came around this year. He's been pretty much like a lockdown corner, in my opinion. But that being said, man, that offensive line is the one thing holding us back, I'm pretty sure. Our receivers are good. I think our quarterback's average. But, you know, when they're not giving up sacks, they're getting plays called back, big holding calls, like you said, that first play last game. Just been rough, man. I just hope they can figure it out. And y'all have a good day.
Thank you for the call. There is a part of me that feels like the idea of just running the same five guys out there every week is not the answer, but it is the answer the Titans are going with right now. And I don't know because, you know, some of this is, hey, just let it all play out, let the cake bake, let it all grow over time and see what happens with, you know, when it comes out of the cocoon. And some of it is you've already lost three games and we just started October. You can't lose too many more because of your offensive line.
Well, yeah, but see, part of it, I mean, you don't have a choice. What are your choice? You know, I mean, the right guard, like the right guard. I mean, he has absolutely no NFL experience. You heard me before. You've got to come in as a position in the offensive line. You have to, one, learn what you're supposed to do and get that all worked out with your teammate, other offensive linemen. And then you have to get used to the NFL. He's done neither. So, I mean, he's, you know, he is literally learning on the run. And that is not a comfortable position in the NFL.
Frank is up next on Mariota. What's up, Frank?
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I've been calling about Mariota, saying he's awful. I agree with the GM. Jared, grab your pom-poms. Be the biggest cheerleader for him you want. His butt is gone.
What did he do yesterday that you didn't like?
He showed up.
But what play did he not make yesterday, or what throw did he miss, or what did he do yesterday that cost the Titans a game?
It's only one game. It's one game. There's 16. You play two good games.
So how can you declare after yesterday's game, he's done, he's gone, pack him up, Marcus, ship him out of here. But, like, what would drive you to call that today based upon what you saw yesterday?
Not on yesterday, but that rest of the year, he's been awful.
Has he? Was he bad? Was he awful against Atlanta? You do realize he was entering Sunday the seventh highest rated quarterback in the league.
Well, is he winning? No.
Well, I mean,
how'd you won?
Did he drop the ball yesterday? Did he miss the kicks yesterday?
No, but
why did they lose the game, Frank?
Frank,
why did they lose the game?
Because they didn't have a field goal kicker either.
And is that his fault?
No, but how about the rest of this season?
Okay,
how about last season?
I'll give you the Indianapolis game. I'll give you Indianapolis. Marcus screwed that game up. They lost. But other than that, they've won the other two. In the Jacksonville game, he got sacked 9 times.
What? I mean, he's not an NFL quarterback or a franchise quarterback.
And you know what? You might be right. Thank you for your call, Frank. You might be right on Marcus. My declaration that he played well yesterday and gave you every freaking chance to win the football game is not a declaration that he's Joe Montana. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I thought Marcus had a really good game yesterday, and it was negated by literally everybody around him, from his field goal kicker to his receivers that dropped 4 balls, 3 on third down, to his offensive line that got 5 of your first 6 penalties, to your coach who doesn't know that your field goal kicker can't kick anymore. To all of those things were to the detriment of him. That's all. That's the only point I'm trying to make. And it's not a declaration about what he is or isn't, or there's nothing about that. It's just yesterday's game, I thought Marcus put you in position to win, and everybody else screwed it up.
Oh, now? You can't say that with a straight face.
He got you four field goals yesterday you didn't make.
And let me say this. Two of them would have been shorter if he hadn't have screwed it up.
Look, that guy is missing from 10 yards.
You wouldn't know that. You have no idea if that's right, wrong, or indifferent. He might have a job today if it wasn't for a sack and a penalty.
Then cut Marcus and keep Santos.
You know what? You're trying to base all of this off of your emotions, and that's not working with this guy.
I'm basing it off of what I saw yesterday.
We have too much history on this guy. You cannot, in the NFL, you cannot. Quarterback's in charge of the offense, right? He's the key cog of the offense. You cannot take 60% of your offense and throw it out the window and have a chance to win. I'm sorry. That does not happen in the NFL.
Again, you are generalizing that every offensive fault was his. That every first down they didn't get was his fault.
I'm generalizing. I'm not basing
it on... If it's a three and out where Adam Humphries drops the ball, that's not his fault.
What, do you think that he's the only quarterback in the NFL that has a ball dropped?
Three on third down?
Do you think he's the only quarterback in the NFL that has a ball dropped?
I think he's the only quarterback in the NFL who had three drops on third down yesterday and had a kicker miss four kicks. Yes.
What? That wasn't my question. Do you think he's the only quarterback in the NFL that has a ball dropped?
No.
Of course not. Everybody has a ball dropped. Everybody has holding penalties. Everybody gets sacked, not as often as he has been. But that happens to every quarterback in the league. Did you see the MVP from last year hobbling? He can't even walk today because his offensive line let him get killed.
Then he must suck.
He sure wasn't very good yesterday.
Does he suck?
If I remember correctly, they lost.
Is he not maybe the best player in the NFL right now?
They lost to Indy.
So is it his fault?
And Indy's quarterback threw 153 yards.
I think you're right, Floyd.
Kansas City lost.
I think you're 100% right. I think Kansas City should cut Mahomes because he stinks so bad because they lost yesterday.
Did I say that?
Because they lost him the game yesterday, didn't he?
I did. Did they win? He's the quarterback. If they didn't win, he's the guy that takes the responsibility.
You're right. Then they should just cut Mahomes. I totally agree.
Is that a shock to you about the NFL?
That it's Mahomes' fault that they lost today and they should cut him?
If your team doesn't win, the quarterback's going to take the brunt of it?
If they cut Patrick Mahomes.
Is that a surprise?
If they cut Patrick Mahomes,
don't change the question.
It would be a surprise.
Is that a surprise to you?
It would be a surprise to me.
That the quarterback carries the brunt? Of all teams in the NFL.
But that doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right.
And it's not just right like in the case coach. Of this quarterback
you
tomorrow.
You want to fire the offensive line coach. You don't know the offensive line coach from a Jarvis.
Because we've had two years of no offensive line play.
If he was good, bad, or indifferent. And that's like Vrabel. You want to get Vrabel fired, too. But you,
no, I don't.
This is what you'll do.
Fire Mike
because
Vrabel.
You
never
have to go over there at press
that.
Conferences and talk to him. You insinuate that he needs to get fired, but then you always finish it with, but I think he's a good coach.
I have never once claimed that Mike Vrabel should be fired.
That does not work.
See, I have never once said Mike Vrabel should be fired. In fact, I think Vrabel does good things as a coach. He just does a lot of bad things, too, and I point out the bad things. It was the same thing as Mike Mularkey. I used to ream Mike Mularkey's rear end all the time, and everyone was like, man, you're hard on Mularkey. And I'm like, I think Mularkey's a good coach. And when they fired Mularkey, I was the only one who was sick to my stomach about that decision because I thought Mularkey was a good coach. I think Vrabel's a good coach. I think he's too stubborn. I think he has no idea what he's doing on fourth down, but I still think that he's a good coach. But like this idea that, I mean, like if I said that you said that someone should be fired, you would have been really mad at me because I am just saying I never said Vrabel should be fired. Now, again, I think the guy's clueless on fourth down. I do. Like he's got to read a book that tells you when to not Like, he needs to ask Madden on the video game about what to do on fourth down. He got no clue.
Timeouts in basketball, fourth down in football.
We never had a problem.
Did
we ever have a problem with Mike Mularkey
every once
in
a while be timeouts in football, too.
We had Mike Mularkey. We had Mike Mularkey
Surely
to cover
there's been
for
a play somewhere, sure. too, in there. But sure, I can't think of any
the
off my
The fake punt against Arizona I lost my mind about. But on this show, we've had Mike Mularkey as the coach for almost as long as Mike Vrabel, right?
I think Mularkey, just about, right?
Mularkey was longer because it was two full seasons.
Yeah.
And we never threw fits about the fourth down decision making until now because this coach doesn't know what he's doing. We'll go back to your phones on it. 615-737-1025, Jared and the GM, TJ Anderson. He knows when to go for it on fourth down. He also knows when you need to buy. He knows what you need to sell because he knows the market. That's why I love my friend TJ Anderson, part of Benchmark Realty, TJ Anderson Homes. Go online to TJ Anderson Homes. com, where thousands of people are going on a daily basis. That's right. Thousands of people. So you list your home with TJ Anderson. Those thousands of people will see that home at TJAndersonHomes.com. Text radio to 615-866-4670 to get your home's value. I do it with my home, and you can as well. You'll get a monthly update about what's going on with your home. That's radio to 615-866-4670 for TJAndersonHomes.com. Nobody knows the market like TJ Anderson does. Talk to TJ today. It's TJAndersonHomes.com. Jared the GM on Titans Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you weigh analytics into that decision at that time? Do you have a numbers guy telling you this percentage to go for it on fourth and this percentage to make the field goal?
Yeah, we know those numbers. We're very aware of what those numbers are, and that I think in the NFL, we all expect field goal kickers to make 53-yard field goals. I watch all the games just like you guys do. Coach puts a guy out there, he makes a 50-yarder, right? And I think that that's part of the pro football. And, you know, where you're at as far as, you know, fourth and sixth, you could kind of see where we are on third and six and figure it out where our percentage would be on fourth and six. So does that help you with the analytics? I think we were 3 of 14 on third down yesterday or whatever we were. I think that's whatever percentage, and we didn't do very well on field goals, so that was the percentage there. I think we got to do better. You know, we got to do better special teams. We got to do better defensively in some of those critical situations. And certainly we have to do a better job of stringing consecutive – positive plays together on offense. I mean, we had them, but there were too few and far between to get anything going. I mean, we have three plays in a row that get us down there, and we talk about fighting through the fringe, and then we stall for whatever reason, you know, an execution or a penalty. And you know, there were positives, too many negatives. But when we talk about the keys each week, and we told the guys that, hey, when the Bills get down there, they're 5 touchdowns and only 7 trips. The offense hadn't gotten down there that much, but when they got down there, they have some pretty good scheme plays. And as you can see, you know, that was really the case again yesterday. They didn't get down there that much, but when they did, you know, they got us on a couple play passes.
So I don't know how do you have an analytics guy that tells you to go for it on fourth down turns into how effective the Bills' offense is in the red zone. But apparently that was for Vrabel right there. 3 of 14 on third down. That is still better than 0%, which is what you were kicking the ball yesterday.
I think they were better than that. Better than 3 of 14.
3 of 14? Yeah. I'm saying what Vrabel said.
Yeah.
Vrabel's trying to couch his argument with, you know, hey, we know the numbers. We know in our third downs we're bad, so we know the numbers. Well, then you sent out 0% to go kick 53 yards, and it just mind-boggling to me. To your phones we go. David is up next on Mike Vrabel. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I was calling the comment that Vrabel said about working to the detriment of his family. It kind of bugged me. I don't know, was he looking for sympathy? I mean, all of us work hard and the detriment of our family, and most of us don't get paid millions of dollars to do it.
So I appreciate your call. I think that if Vrabel was like, I think, you know, well, I don't want to say I put Vrabel in a tough spot, but I don't ask Vrabel what the message to the fans is after they win. You know what I mean? Like, I'm asking him after a soul-crushing loss, which The Titans have had way too many of, especially against Buffalo. But I'm asking him, you know, in a tough spot. Like, the fans are probably not going to like to hear what the coach has to say no matter what. You mean, they lost the game. I do think the I work to the detriment of my family angle, you know, kind of, I'm not going to say it rubs the average fan the wrong way, but, like, we don't care. Everybody works to the detriment of their family. Floyd, when you were GM of the Titans, you probably worked a lot of hours that was to the detriment of Sean and Jeremy and Katie and Sally and all the grandkids and everything. But as somebody who is a Titan fan, I'm not sure I really care. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that, so for the caller to say it rubs him the wrong way, I get what the caller means. I think it is personal to Vrabel because Vrabel wants to spend more time with his family and do less coaching probably. But it just rubs the average fan the wrong way when it's like, well, you know, Johnny Joe makes 30 grand and he has to miss things for his family too. You know, I think that's, how's Johnny Joe supposed to feel to the detriment of his family? He's making 30 grand. Vrabel's making probably 3 million bucks.
Right, but having been there, I mean, I don't know what Johnny Joe does for a living, but unless he does it about 100 hours a week, it's not the same. I mean, it's the amount of time they put in is incredible.
I know, but like if you're the CEO and of Delta, I'm sure the CEO of Delta puts in a bunch of time.
Very well could
too.
Be. Very well could be. I don't know.
And there's a lot of people that a lot of people that don't make a lot of money who put in a lot of hours too. You know, like football coach is not the hardest job in the world.
No, and I'm not saying it is. I mean, but I am saying that having been there, I mean, it is a hard job. And there are a lot of people. I mean, I've been around a lot of people who work, you know, 6 hours a day and call it a hard job. I mean, that is not hard. That is not classified as hard. And so, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's a matter of there are levels and there are levels. I mean, doctors, for example, I mean, they're off the charts. I don't even know how many hours they work, you know. And they're probably, like you said, now I don't know how much a doctor makes, but I'm not sure how many doctors, maybe they all make 3 million, you know, if that's what Vrabel makes.
Oh, I asked my buddy if he's going to go to the Preds game Saturday. He's a doctor. He's like, I just got off a 24-hour shift, and I got to do another one tomorrow at 6 a.m., so yeah, I'm probably not going to go.
So, I mean, you know, there you go.
Probably shouldn't go to the game.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kinston, who's up next. What's up, Kinston?
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time, love the show.
Cool.
I had a comment and a question for the GM. One, I don't know what's up with this Buffalo team that 2 years in a row we played so badly, somebody's had to get cut the Monday after. Second one for the GM, with so much invested in the offensive line, if things kind of stay how they are the rest of the year, do we have any moves if we want to move around for somebody, or are we kind of stuck with the guys we have? I'll take the comments off the air.
Thanks.
You know, I mean, I don't think they would do anything with Taylor. I don't know what Saffold's contract looks like. Ben Jones just signed a new one, so I assume he's okay. The rookie, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do about him. You know, I mean, it's because he is literally, you know, his bike has training wheels. And so, you know, when it's all said and done, is he going to be good enough? I mean, we don't know. And then Jack, I think Jack is in a contract year.
He is.
So, you know, I mean, he's, you know, a day like yesterday is not helping his cause.
I do wonder if the Titans would trade LaJuan at the end of the year. If LaJuan becomes, I worry about LaJuan in the locker room because, you know, he talks a lot. You know, he talks a lot. And not to say that, you know, his talking, that they're not used to his talking, because I think they're probably used to his. But like even today, he's like, you know, trash talking Shaq Lawson in Buffalo on Twitter. You know, like, and I feel like that will rub people the wrong way. When you don't play well in your own team, when I'm sitting here, I'm fighting every week. You got busted for PEDs, step right back in, play worse than the guy that was ahead of you, and now you're the one doing all the talking. And if that continues for the season, I can see guys saying, get this guy out of here. You know, enough's enough. And then you could obviously get something for Taylor because he's a good player. So then you do it. Yeah, I worry about Taylor in the locker room. Not that I'm on that team, so I wouldn't know. But I just know that when you talk, it's all fun and games. But if you don't produce, then they get mad at the talker.
And I think, he's not a novice to anybody over there. I mean, everybody over there has been with him for, however long. 2-3 years at least, some a lot longer than that. So I mean, they've got a pretty good feel for whoever he is.
Right back to the phones next, except for the one thing that I think really, I'm not going to complain about it too much in yesterday's game, but is worth at least bringing up. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, Preds fans, Smashville Live returns this Wednesday, hosted by Braden Gall from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard from 7 to 8. This week's guests are Kyle Turris and Dan Hamuse. The first 50 people have an opportunity to get an autograph or a picture. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
When you see the miscues offensively with this line, they've continued. Third and goal. Mariota feels the pocket start to collapse. Probing, throwing to the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, A.J. Brown. But was Mariota over the line of scrimmage on this throw? You thought that he was going to tuck it away and run for it, yeah, but he may have crossed the line of scrimmage.
I thought there was no doubt he was going to run. I thought he had clear shot to the end zone.
The line of scrimmage was the 11-yard line.
Illegal forward pass. Offense, number 8. The 5-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. It's also a loss of down. It's fourth down.
That was the play yesterday. Mariota across the line. By the way, I agree with Archuleta. Mariota could run that ball into the end zone for a touchdown. And that's what I thought he was going to do. I thought it was going to be one of those ones where the quarterback goes running and then he dives, and you're going to get popped when you're diving, but he dives in for a touchdown. Then he throws it, and I'm like, touchdown! And then I'm like, oh, I'm not so sure. But I don't want to whine about the officiating, but the officiating was terrible yesterday. The holding call on LaJuan to start the game was terrible. Totally changes the game when you wipe out a 30-yard gain to start the football game. And then Gene Steratore yesterday broke it down, and he thought Mariota was behind the line of scrimmage.
My opinion here, guys, remember, the entire quarterback, every part of him has to be beyond the line of scrimmage. If anything, it's not the position of the ball. It's his entire body. So if his back foot is at the 11, which was that previous spot, they will overturn this to a legal forward pass. And in my opinion, when Marcus Mariota releases this football, his right foot appears to be right at the 11-yard line.
And I went back and watched it like 10 times. The right foot was literally right behind the 11-yard line by an inch.
Well, keep in mind now, the only way they overturn these, if it's clear and obvious, I mean, you're talking about an inch.
But Gene is there saying it's clear and obvious to him.
I don't care what Gene's saying. He's not on the field. The guys that are on the field are looking at the things. To them, they're looking at it and they're going, no, that's where I thought his foot was. He's over the line. I mean, so it's that was their decision. If they would have given him the touchdown, they would have left him with the touchdown. But no, they took it over, or they said no, and then, there wasn't enough to overturn it. Now, if it would have been an entire foot back or a something back, the other foot, anything, then I think it'd be clear and obvious.
Let's go to your phones. I just thought the officiating was terrible. Let's run through them before we get to Floyd's three things. Chris is up next. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Titans and truth.
Yes, indeed. Now, Jared, first of all, I'm going to make this quick. First of all, I commend you and the rest of the media. Y'all kind of stumped Braver. I could tell he was kind of flustered during that press conference. Major commending to you on that. Mr. Floyd, I agree with you on one thing. Yes, this is a game that they should have won. I agree with that 100%. Other than that, Jared, I am 1,000% with you on this. Santos missing the kick. Number one, he missed three kicks prior, 33, 36, 50 yards. In that situation, I think everybody in the stadium, including myself, was thinking, why in the world are you sending him out there? I literally had to turn around and not even look at the kick. And I look at the look of everybody else, and I knew he was going to miss it the second he stepped on the field by the way it was going before. And you said earlier, you know, if it's one player on the offensive line, it's probably that player that needs to work on himself. But if it's the entire unit, you really got to start looking at the coach.
For 2 years.
And I mean, Vrabel talking about he's very confident in Keith Carter. That's kind of football malpractice. That's the same thing Malarkey was doing with Coach Wibisky. That's not good. And let's kill this good to great thing. Let's at least try to go from mediocre to good. Let's start with that.
I will say this, Chris. Chris, thank you for your call. I think that this is, and this will be a topic either for later or tomorrow, but I do believe this is the first time the fans are really, I mean, are really, really mad at Vrabel. You know, this is the first time in his 2 years where I think I can sense some tide turning a little bit on Vrabel from the fans. But the good to great thing, if this team, because everybody watches these games and says, see, this is why they're 9-7 every year. This is why they're 9-7. You know what I thought about today? What if they're not 9-7? Like, what if they're 5-11 this year? And it'd be very easy to blame Mariota for that, and I'm sure they will. But I think the fans aren't going to forget the good to great stuff if you go 5-11 this year. And they will, because they know Marcus can get them 9 wins. So if you go 5-11, then they're going to have a real problem. Let's go to Tony, who's up next on Vrabel. What's up, Tony?
Everything's good out here trying to make my wife some money. couple of things. GM, I like the fact that you said you like facts. Here's some facts. Number one is we got more than enough talent to win football games. That's a fact. Number two is they just don't have nobody to help them win. That's a fact. That falls on Mike Vrabel. For an example, we sitting here watching the football game, and the defense of the Buffalo Bills are fixed. I mean totally fixed on every move that Derrick Henry makes. And a good coach would have picked up on that.
Tony, I hear you. Tony, I hear you, and I appreciate your call. But I really felt like you were going nowhere with that. And I would say this. It's not a fact to say this team does not have anybody helping them out. That is the exact opposite of a fact. I mean, I guess it's not the exact opposite because I can't tell you that it's not true, but it is 100% an opinion and not a fact.
Right.
But I wasn't really sure where that call was going. And by that, I mean, it felt like it was going nowhere. Cedric, who I know will have a call that doesn't go anywhere, is up next. Cedric, give me a call.
My man, GM, listen, I love you. Jared, you got to stop with these excuses, man. You keep saying that, what did Marcus do? He played great. Marcus Mariota did not play great yesterday.
Great.
We're not going to blame these officials. Let's remember, there was a roughing the passer where our guy blocked the Bills guy into Mariota, right?
That was pretty amazing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you what we should expect out of a guy drafted number two. We should expect a guy with the number two pick to have us in the playoffs. He got to the playoffs once, compete for league MVP, compete for Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, when you have a nasty game like that, find a way to win, no matter who drops passes, no matter what field goal kicker's missing what, because that's what Mac 9 did. He was the guy that Floyd and Reese drafted. Mariota dives for a touchdown, and his knee hits the ground. That's called awareness. He doesn't have that. But you've got a guy who's running and doesn't know where the line of scrimmage is and is over the line of scrimmage. Now, Jerry, don't tell me that it was close, because the Buffalo guys are going to say the Music City Miracle was close. Don't give me that.
The Music City Miracle was close, Cedric. I mean, it was a lateral, but it was close.
But it went our way. So we're not going to cry about that when he had all that room over there and didn't have the situational awareness to know where the line of scrimmage was to complete that pass. That's why this bum needs to get out of here, man. Thank you, Floyd, for holding him accountable. I got to go, man.
Thank you, Cedric. Floyd, do you think that Mariota, as Cedric put it, this bum needs to go?
I mean, we'll know in a few weeks.
AG is up next. What's up, AG?
don't know, man. I think Fitz is one of my favorite callers. But, man, Jerry, man, I hate when you say that Mike Malaga was a good coach, but you said you don't believe he can win a Super Bowl, man. You my guy, but I just hate when you say that. And then I want to ask you, do you feel like Marcus Mariota played better than Buffalo Bills quarterback? And I also want to ask you one more thing. Would you sign Marcus Mariota to a max contract at the end of the season? And that's all I got.
I mean, I'm not signing Mariota to a max contract. I don't think Mariota is expecting to be offered a max contract. Even if he is offered a contract by the Titans, I don't think Mariota is expected to sign to get a max contract. But to answer your point about was he better than Allen, Allen had all day back in the pocket yesterday.
Allen got sacked four times.
There was one time
Marcus
where Allen
got sacked five times.
There was one time
That's
where
not
Allen
a world of difference.
No, there was one time where Allen literally got sacked because he stood there for about 3 minutes patting the football. And Adam Archuleta was like, there's just nobody there. The coverage is perfect. And so, I thought Allen played okay. I thought Allen made every easy throw that he was asked to make, which were the only throws he was asked to make. The little easy right here, easy, easy, easy. And I'm like, Marcus, his guys actually caught the ball. So, no, it's not apples to apples. Coming up next, Floyd's three
you
things.
You are so biased at all.
No, I am not.
It is so hard to
did
listen.
Did I not give Marcus the business after the Indy game?
So biased.
Did I not give? Which I'm biased.
Which
I'm biased. You're the one who was okay with Vrabel kicking. The only person in the history of America that was okay with sending Cairo Santos out there for that 53-yard kick. I mean, that is biased.
There is nothing that makes complete and perfect football sense.
Vrabel
now, I
has
know
never
in your
gone
world,
for one.
I know in your world that doesn't mean anything. But in the football world, if you say, okay, you put him in this situation, you're behind by seven, you're going to get the ball this series and one more. You got to pick up 10 points. How are you going to do it? Well, I better kick the field goal now. Yeah. It's the only chance you got. You don't, then you got to pray you can tie. So, that is complete and obvious football sense.
Ian.
Now, I know you don't understand that.
Ian, has Floyd ever on this show, in the 2 years Vrabel has been coached, disagreed with his fourth down decision either way, whether it was to kick or to not kick?
Well, you know Floyd, he doesn't do that. You know
that's
his philosophy.
Rule. Yeah, you forget my rule.
That's
that
not,
it's so hard to make that call.
Is,
that it's,
as long as it's a decisive
is,
decision, yeah. And then you stick with it.
Exactly
so
right.
If it's 4th and 21 and Vrabel wants to go for it, you're going to say, okay, you know what? I like that decision.
No, I doubt he would go for it on that.
And I doubt that anybody would like it. But all of these decisions that you're getting amped up about, I mean, they're all 50-50. You think if it was a lock, it wouldn't be an issue. And he knows that. And as I always try to tell you, I'm just going to guess, and I could be completely wrong on this, that they spend a lot more time thinking about this than you do.
They may not.
I'll say that.
I will say this. I spend a ton of time thinking about this stuff.
I don't care how much
now,
you spend.
Now, I don't watch a ton of film, I do spend a ton of time thinking about this. Jared and the GM, three up, three down. Floyd's three things are next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.